If you were able to walk into a room confident that you would be well-received, seen, heard, and appreciated by others, and all it took was a few changes in how you navigate your everyday relationships, would you be willing to make those changes? It is possible to be both fully authentic and to experience the best relationships of your life. Now, here is the host of Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Makayla Gaffin-Stone.
Welcome to Navigating Complicated Relationships. Here we are again. It's that time of the week, and I am bringing you a new topic. It's from surviving to thriving, because we want to reach the thriving, right? So in this episode, I'm going to be looking at how to shake off survival mode, if that's what you're living in, and how to activate thriving as a way of life for you. So if you find yourself sort of wondering, am I ever going to be able to do the things I want to do? I'm stuck in this place. Everything happens to me, and it's not the things that you want. Then chances are that means you're stuck in survival mode. And this is exhausting. Like, really, do you want to stay in survival mode? Nobody's going to answer yes to that. So here's an example of a tool, a tip, even a question for you to use right away. How resilient are you? Do you know how resilient you are? Because your resilience is typically tied to your sense of purpose. Now, we've done a podcast on this before, so you can always look back and find that podcast on purpose. But if you don't know what your sense of purpose is, then you're a little more going to flow with the tide. You know, you can get knocked off your perch because you're not really solidly there. It's like you don't know your purpose. So maybe I'll go that way. Maybe I'll move this way. It's something that you need to be aware of. So that's one clue about the kind of thing we're going to talk about today. That's a part of thriving. So what is surviving? Well, it's when every day is a battle. Every day you're just sort of, okay, just let me get through this and then I'll be able to. Now, here's a big clue for you. Do you find that you often say to yourself or you'll say to others, oh yeah, I'm going to do that once I've done this thing, or when I can do X, I'll do Y. It's always later, right? You're putting that thing off for another time when you're better equipped to do it. That's when you know that you are surviving and not thriving. Because if you're thriving, you're going to say, yeah, I want to do that thing. Let's go. And you're going to jump in because there's nothing holding you back. You're thriving. So let's think of a few other ways that we can look at what survival mode is. You know, how do you deal with Sundays? There's a question. How do you deal with Sundays? Is Sunday a miserable pre-Monday? Is it like, oh, I have to go to work tomorrow. That sucks. And then you're miserable about it, or some other aspect of your life that's coming up. And that Sunday evening in particular, it's not fun because you're ready for something miserable to happen. Do you think that's thriving? Yeah, you know it isn't, right? So surviving is a space of stress. It's a space of treading water and not actually getting the things done or achieved or within your environment that you want to have. So what contributes to survival rather than thriving? What makes the difference there? Well, mindset is huge, right? It's perspective is a very big deal in which place you're going to end up. Are you going to be staying in survival mode or are you going to be continuing to thrive? Because if everything you look at, you see the problems with it, you see the negative thing, you see the issue, you see the negative side, and you really can't see the positives because who would, right? It's so bad. Well, you're just about surviving, right? But if you can look at those same situations, those same people, those same things, and see the good side to it? What's the benefit? What's the lesson that you can learn? Or how could you do things differently to improve that particular situation? You do have some control. And if you're in survival mode, you tend to think you don't. But if you're thriving, you know you do. So shifting your perspective from one of everything sucks, life's miserable, and I hate my life. Moving it from that to, okay, that's been my experience. Now, what am I going to do moving forward? How am I going to change this? Where are the good things in my life that I can build on? That's a very different perspective. And I've mentioned in many podcasts before, and I will continue to mention going forward because it's so important. You have this part of your brain called the reticular activating system. And the RAS, reticular activating system, is the part of your brain that gives you more of what you focus on. So if you're focusing on, it's a rainy day today, that's wonderful. Now I don't have to water the lawn, it's getting watered. Or you're looking at the weather and saying, it's a rainy day today, I hate rain, that's so miserable, now I can't go out and have fun. You're going to get more things that show up that day, that in that moment even, that sort of feed into that perspective. So if you're feeling miserable about the situation or you're focusing on what's bad about it, then you're going to see more things that you're not happy with. You don't like, it's not good. These are things I can't do. These are things that are messed up. You're going to get more of that. And if you focus on, oh, hey, well, that's cool. That's a good thing. It saves me from doing that and gives me more time for this. And you can sort of pick out the good things that you can now do because of that event. Do you see where I'm going with this? It's very interesting to see the difference that happens in your day, depending on your perspective. So if you start off miserable and then stay there, well, that's exactly what you're going to get lots of to confirm that, yeah, it really is that bad. Your brain's going to give you what you're asking it for. And a key here is to know that your brain doesn't understand negatives. So if you say, if we're talking about money and you say, I don't want to be in debt, what the brain gets out of that is debt. So you will then start to do things that incur spending and don't involve saving, or you don't see ways where you could make money and you only see ways you could lose money. It's kind of, it works that way. But if you say, I'm looking for abundance, then if you're not clear about what the abundance is, you could get all kinds of things coming to you, but you'll get things. If you're very clear about what it is you want to be abundant in, then you'll start to see ways that you can make that happen. So if you think of The Secret, remember that movie, The Secret? If you think of that and the law of attraction and all those good things, it's true, it's correct. You do attract what you put out, but there's a very big key here. And it is the difference between surviving or thriving. And the key is you need to then get off your ass and take some action. You need to start doing the behaviors that are going to get you the thing you want. You're attracting it, yes, and you having the behaviors come up to do, like your brain will give you those suggestions. It'll put you in the right direction, but you then have to do it. It's not enough to sit on the sofa and say, okay, I'm manifesting $1 million right now. That's very cool, great. But now what are you going to do to go earn it? Because you still need to take the action. And I think they kind of cut The Secret a bit short. And Lisa Nichols was about to tell people that now you need to move. The whole mindset and thinking about it, focusing on it, all of those things are necessary. All of those things are helpful. They are not everything. However, you do need to take action. So where are you not taking action? Where are you letting things happen to you? Because giving away your power like that keeps you in survival mode. You're barely keeping your head above water. You're just trying to get through the day. You're just trying to get through the week. You're always looking forward to the next thing. So if you're looking forward and you're not paying attention to where you are right now, then you're not actually living. You're missing the point. You're barely surviving, honestly, at this point, because the future didn't happen yet. And if you're just focusing on it and not doing things, well, the future that does happen is likely to be less than ideal, right? Because you haven't taken the action that you need to take to get what you're looking for. I hope all of this is not too confusing, because I'm saying it to you in different ways so that something will land. But the key that I want you to get out of this is you do have control, and the control that you have is the ability to take action. So, what are you going to decide to do? And again, in a previous podcast, I've mentioned the whole shame and blame thing where this person did this to me, therefore I can't do anything, or it's all this person's fault that I'm in this situation. Okay, yeah, sure. But if you keep saying that and you don't stop and look at what you can do about your situation, then you're giving away your power again. You're giving it to the person who, frankly, probably doesn't want it, and you're putting all of your ability in their hands, right? Like, I can't fix this because this person put me there. I mean, do you really want to do that? I think it can feel like you're sort of, let's say, it can feel like you're in a comfort zone because it's familiar, but it's not honestly very comfortable if you think about it. Trying something new, which means taking action, it's uncomfortable because you don't know what the results are going to be. But I have a little tip for you at this point. If you go into new situations with curiosity and really be curious, what could this go like? I wonder what happens when I do this. How's that going to look? What comes next after this? If you're focused on curiosity, showing up with that, then you're not going to be stuck because you can't be mired in self-doubt if you're curious. You don't have space for both. So if you want to move from surviving to thriving, get curious about what's possible. This is a very big tip, and if you take nothing else away from today, I would love you to take that one away, is that, you can choose. You do have that power. So it's up to you. What action are you going to take? Are you going to continue to blame other people and just kind of stay where you are? It's a bit of a waste of a lifetime, right? Don't you think? I would like to get to my last day, and assuming that I know it's my last day, I want to be able to look back and say, well, that was a ride and I did a whole lot of things. Not, well, that was a drag and I blamed everybody else for my life. There's a world of difference, but I come across a lot of people who are stuck in that blame mode because they're too afraid to try something new. Don't let that be you. Come on, you can take that leap and you can be curious, right? And I would love for you to send me an email at mickey@gaffinstone.com, and that's MIKKI, because I'm not a mouse, at Gaffin, GAFFEN, stone, like a rock, .com. Send me a message and let me know what action are you taking that before you heard this podcast, you were maybe too afraid to do, and now you're curious and you want to try. What action are you going to take? Anything. I have no judgment about what it is. I just love the idea that you would be taking some action. So if you're willing to tell me that, or find me on Facebook and tell me there, that would be amazing. I'd love to hear what it is that you're going to do that's different, because that's the start of a whole change in survival to thriving. Isn't that cool? It's one step. We have more after the break, so don't go away. Do get your notepad if you haven't got one already. And frankly, if you've listened to my podcast before and you don't have a notepad, why? I mean, I'm always throwing stuff at you that you need to write down. Anyway, I will see you again in a minute. Don't go away.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Michaela Gaffin-Stone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. Listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to mickey@gaffinstone.com. Now back to the program.
Hey, welcome back to Navigating Complicated Relationships. I am so glad that you're here. We're talking about from surviving to thriving. And I think it's such an important thing for people in this world today. So many of us are stuck in survival mode, particularly if you allow things like news channels to have access to you. And frankly, if you are, could you reconsider that or at least minimize it? Because that's not doing your mental health any good whatsoever. News is no longer news. It's people's opinions. It's not based on fact. It's based on distortion. And I'm not picking out a particular news channel. They're all the same way. They all present a bias and they're affecting you negatively. So if you can reduce your exposure to that, I think you'll be doing yourself a very big favor, honestly. The news will still reach you. I assure you, it will still get through. But if you can minimize how much of that insanity that you get directly into your energy, I think that would be a very good thing. Now, let's understand survival mode a little bit more, because you need to know where you are in order to know that you want to get out of it, right? So let's see. Some of the symptoms of being in survival mode are that you feel constantly overwhelmed and stressed. And what that does to you is it means you can't focus on anything beyond your immediate survival needs, which is why everything is down here. You're looking down at, you know, what food am I going to buy? Where am I going to go here? I hate my job. You know, whatever it is, you're looking down. Your levels are down. And you're so focused on that that you forget, or maybe you don't even know, that there's so much more available to you if only you look up, right? If you can come out of that survival mode and focus on things beyond those immediate survival needs. Now, I'm not glossing over people that are having a hard time, and I'm not saying that we don't have periods in our life like that. We all do. I mean, I've had things happen where I've definitely been in survival mode. But the important key here is not to stay there. You know, you end up in a hole, but dig yourself out. You don't have to stay there. That's really important to understand. If you are staying in survival mode, it's a choice, right? It's not because somebody else has done it to you. It's because you're choosing not to take action to get out of there. And don't let that be you. You know, I'm not judging you. I'm just giving you the information as I have it. Right. So another sign of survival mode is when you get into avoidance behaviors, such as procrastination, right? Like you're going to be doing anything but that task that you know needs to be done, whether it's work, whether it's a difficult conversation. Now, how many of us avoid difficult conversations or what we think is going to be difficult? We would rather make assumptions. We would rather, skirt around the issue. We'd do anything to avoid what could be a confrontational conversation. And I honestly wish they taught that skill in school, because this is something that causes wars. This is something that causes big problems in relationships. It causes breakups. It causes a lot of things. When you can't have that conversation, the one where you're expressing yourself clearly and without sort of hiding anything, and that you're listening to the other person and receiving what they say. Because if you only listen to reply, which frankly is a big issue these days, people don't have much of an attention span, and thank you, social media. But if you're not listening to get the content of what the person's saying, and you don't pause to consider before you answer, then you're not really having a conversation. And if the topic is touchy, or if it's something that you think is going wrong somewhere and you need to address it, then you need to talk about it, right? And if you're doing everything to avoid that conversation, then it's not going to end well, because you're not doing the thing you need to do. You're essentially doing either numbing activities like watching TV, or maybe substance use, or, and it can also be things like shopping. Some people go shopping as a way of avoiding a whole bunch of things that they don't want to have to deal with, right? We run fast to get away from situations that we're not happy with. Whereas we could actually turn around and just say, you know what? I'm not happy about this. Let's see if we can fix it, and stand your ground. Now, that takes some gumption and it takes work, but that's where the gold is. That's where you can make a big difference and move from surviving to thriving. So I recommend that if there's something, if there's an elephant in the room that you just don't want to address, go talk to it. Go do that thing, because that's going to help you right along with the curiosity to move from survival to thriving. It's a very big deal. Now, if you're in survival mode, you're also going to be experiencing symptoms that are physical, like fatigue. You're going to be tired all the time. You're going to wake up tired. Maybe you have insomnia. Maybe you can get to sleep, but you can't stay there. Or you can't get to sleep, and eventually you do, and then it's time to get up. But in any case, your sleep is messed up, and you're tired all day. And chances are you think coffee or some other caffeine source is going to help you get through the day. It's going to help you be focused and productive. Now, I'm doing a coaching program. In fact, it's just come to a conclusion. I'm getting ready to start the next one. And one of my clients found that he had a story about caffeine like that. He thought using caffeine made him more productive and better able to deal with all the things in his life, lots of activities, work, a ton of things. And he took a break from caffeine for a little while, and he discovered something really important. And I think it's profound. I was quite astonished. He discovered that when he has caffeine, it doesn't make him more productive. It doesn't make him focus better. In fact, quite the opposite. It scatters his focus and gives him a whole load of anxiety. Now, isn't that wild? There's probably a lot of people, including you listening, who take caffeine thinking, I have to have caffeine or my day is wasted. I have to have caffeine or I can't get anything done. I have to have caffeine or I can't be human. All of those things. And maybe you have anxiety, and maybe you're even taking medication for that anxiety. It could be that caffeine is giving you your anxiety. It's possible. I'm not saying that it's definitely that, but I have someone who I coached who experienced that. How powerful is that? So one shift for that person from survival to thriving is lose the caffeine and have something else to drink. You find other things to drink, including water, which is pretty wild, but, herbal teas. There's all kinds of things, and he thinks more clearly without the caffeine. So if you'd like that to be you, I just gave you a little tip there that you could try, right? People with survival mode also will have things like headaches due to chronic stress, right? And anxiety. And all of these things are coming up because you're avoiding and stressing over your situation without taking action. That's basically what's happening. Now, okay, so what does the impact of survival mode look like? Because if you're stuck in it, you can be sure that not only do you have symptoms that you're living with, but it has a knock-on effect in your life. And maybe you're not as aware of that because you're so busy focusing on what's immediately in front of you and your immediate needs to survive. But when you're in survival mode, you have increased risk of mental health disorders. That would be anxiety and depression, right? But there's a spectrum for that. And where are you on that spectrum? Is it debilitating? Does it stop you from doing your work? How ironic would that be that being stuck in a place because you won't take action actually then gives you a mental health issue that kind of stops you from taking action? Does this sound like a cycle to you that you might want to step out of? Because it sure does to me. And any action will help. Any action breaks that cycle. You just have to make a decision and then do it. Don't overanalyze. Don't stop and think, oh, but what if this? What if that? Like those what ifs will keep you treading in a circle for the rest of your life because there is an inexhaustible supply of what ifs. And if you find yourself asking that question very frequently, then I invite you to stop asking it and just say, well, let's see. That's your answer, right? It speaks to the curiosity. Well, let's see. I'm going to try this thing and see what happens. I'm going to take that action. It could be a small action. Small actions are fine. They lead to bigger ones. There's no judgment here on that. Anything. Just take an action, okay? Now, another thing, another impact of survival mode can be strained relationships with your friends and your family. Because maybe you withdraw emotionally, or you get irritable because you got all this pressure and all this stress going on. Well, the people that are around you, they have their own stuff. They don't really want to have to handle that as well. And if you're withdrawing, then there's nothing for them to handle, right? You're taking yourself out of the equation. Again, that's not thriving. That's barely surviving. And then your health, your physical health, can start to decline because you're neglecting self-care. You're maybe bringing in unhealthy coping mechanisms, like I feel better when I eat a donut. Well, maybe for a few seconds you do, but I'm going to tell you in a minute or two, I'm going to get into the whole reason why eating your emotions and eating your stress and neglecting self-care is exactly the unhelpful thing to do. It's exactly what's going to keep you barely in survival mode and nowhere near thriving. And we want you to thrive, right? And if you're not looking after yourself, can you really expect that suddenly you're going to thrive? How? How's that going to happen? You're going to have a fairy godmother come down, wave a wand, and suddenly everything's cool? It doesn't work that way. Your magic wand is action. That's what you're going to take. Action and be curious about the outcome, not attached. So, what I mean by that is if you do something and you have an intention that this has to end in a particular way, well, it may or it may not, but you're going to be happy or not depending on the outcome. And that's not exactly what we're shooting for. What we want here is you're going to try the thing, try that action, do it, and then see what happened? What's the result? Be curious, because if it doesn't work, you learn something. If it does work, yay, it worked. You don't lose either way. Think about that while we have another break. And I will be back in just a moment here on Navigating Complicated Relationships. I'm your host, Mikaela Gaffin Stone, and I will see you in a minute.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Michaela Gaffin-Stone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. Listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Mickey@GaffinStone.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. And remember, if you're going to email me, it's mikki@GaffinStone.com. And you will find me there and I will answer you very happily. I'd love some interaction on this because it's such an important topic. And the more people that move from surviving to thriving, the better the world's going to be, but certainly the better your immediate environment's going to be. So before the break, I was talking about eating your stress, you know, that donut that's going to make you feel better, that glass of wine or that bottle of wine that's going to make you feel better at the end of a stressful day. Well, it does while you're thinking about it before you have it. But once you have those things, the problem's still there. Nothing went away. It didn't change. You might be a little numbed from the alcohol. You might be on a bit of a high from the sugar of the donut, but you are not in a different place. You're just as stuck, only now you have all this stuff going on in your body, but you're just as stuck in that survival mode. So let's have a look at some ideas for how else you can move out. I've mentioned taking action. That's crucial. You're not going to get anywhere without it. Taking action with curiosity for the outcome, instead of being fixed on what that has to look like, you'll be a lot happier right there. Just if you can give up the need to control the outcome, you're going to feel a lot happier. Those two things are moving you towards thriving already. Then look at the food that you eat. Now, by now, you probably know that I coach a program that's all about breaking the chains of emotional eating and getting you to a functional place of eating foods that work for you. Now, there might be some things that are great for you that I don't do well with. And that's part of this whole coaching process, is for you to learn which ones work for you and which ones don't. And then you have information you can choose. Do I want this thing and I'll put up with the consequences or not? But if you're constantly eating and drinking things that bring your general health down, then a few things happen. One is you're so used to that lower level of health that you don't realize you feel lousy. This is just normal for you, but it's a low level of normal, right? You don't feel good. You're not energetic or excited about life, or, you know, you don't have the oomph that you'd like to have, but it's been so long you can't remember what it's like. That is something that eating foods that cause inflammation in your body, that's what that feels like. Now, we look at TV and see advertisements all over the place from the pharmaceutical industry telling you, oh, you got this thing going on? Don't worry about it. I got this pill for you and it'll fix everything. Well, that's not true. It doesn't. If you're eating foods that cause inflammation, that cause you to feel unwell, that give you these different symptoms, then the pill might fix one of the symptoms. It might cover it. You know, it's literally just kind of plastering over it. It's not fixing the problem. The problem is how you're eating. And sometimes, in fact, quite often, because the marketing agencies are very clever with this, you don't know what you're eating that's causing you problems. And that's where my coaching comes in. This is something that makes me so happy to help people with, because once you know, you never unknow it. And when I'm coaching you through this program, there's no deprivation. I don't tell you you can't have things. There's no hunger. That's absolutely, don't get hungry, because you know what happens when you're hungry? You make more flexible food choices than you might do if you're not hungry. How many times have you decided, I'm going to go on a diet and lose weight right after you've eaten, right? But if you're hungry and it's almost dinner time, you are not thinking about going on a diet at that point. So when you're working through learning about the foods that work for you, being hungry is not your friend. So we don't encourage that. That's not a thing. You're going to get plenty to eat. And guess what else you get freedom from? There's no counting calories and there's no portion control. Because when you're eating the foods that are right for you, which you figure out during this program, it'll self-regulate. Like, you won't overeat. You will eat exactly what you need to eat. It's so cool. And it's a process. It's literally transitioning you from surviving and relying on the healthcare system for meds to thriving. And you may be able to come off some or all of your meds. Now, that's not something that I would ever tell you to do. But I will at some point, if you're working with me, at some point, I'm going to send you back to your doctor to say, could you check that again? Because you might no longer need the meds, or you might need a reduction in dose. Wouldn't that be so cool? You can either spend your money buying the foods that work for you, or you can spend it on medications. I know which one I choose and which one I love for people that work with me to choose. But, you know, you make a decision, you take an action, right? This is an area where you can really transition from surviving to thriving. I invite you to get in touch with me if this is interesting, because I have another group starting in about 3 weeks' time. And I'm getting ready, geared up to get going on that. And it's so exciting. So let me know. Then another tool that you can look at. So eating, what you put into your body is absolutely going to affect your mindset, your clarity of thought, your decision making. And, you know, if you're making decisions from a place of anxiety, for example, do you think those are good decisions? I'm going to say probably not. So the food that you put in your body is important. Then understanding who you are, how your energy works for you. Now, that might sound a little woo, but if it does, let's have a conversation, because I would like to show you how it works. And the thing I'm talking about here is human design. If you know how your energy works properly with human design, and where the stories are from other people that, particularly as a child, made you feel wrong, made you feel like you were too much of something or you shouldn't do something, especially, but not only women, right? We get this a lot as kids. You're really sort of honed in and kept small, right? You don't want to take up too much space. Hopefully that's changing now, but I'm not too sure about that. But when you do your human design and you learn about that, often the things that you've been made to feel too much or wrong for are actually your gifts. They're the things that you do really well. And there are ways to work with them that you can take that action, move out of survival mode into thriving. And using your human design, you can do it with confidence because you know, oh, yeah, that's me. That's how it works. Now, here's a clue for you for your human design and where, even if you've not generated your chart yet, and if you haven't, why not? It's on my website. You know, if you haven't got your chart, go to gaffinstone.com and generate your chart. There's a little bit of information there, and you can book readings with me if you want more. But once you have your human design and you know how you work, you can realize where the stories are that have come from other people making you wrong. Now, why would anybody do that? I'm going to say they're not being malicious for the most part. That's not the intention. But you probably operate in a way that the other person doesn't understand. And we as human beings don't like what we don't understand. And so we have to squash it, right? Especially for kids. And for women, just not taking up too much space is something that's been going on for generations now. But what if you're here to take up a lot of space? What if you're here to do big things? No wonder you're in survival mode if you've got this big personality that's been kept small. Human design can unlock that for you. And it really is quite amazing. So that's something for you to consider and have a look at your human design. It's quite incredible. And let's have a look at another aspect of surviving to thriving. And that would be spirituality, whatever that means for you. Now, I'm not going to start talking about God, and I'm not going to start talking about chakras. It doesn't matter. What is it to you? If you believe that there is something bigger than you that exists outside of you, that you have some kind of interaction with, that's spirituality. And I'm not going to call you on what that looks like for you because, well, why would I? I have my own version, you have your version. But are you ignoring it? Are you sacrificing that while you focus on surviving? Or are you bringing it in? Do you do some kind of meditation? Now, meditation is often misunderstood in the West. I studied this in Asia, and I studied with monks. So I had a really good look from the people who practice this as a way of life. I got a really good look at meditation and what it means, what it's supposed to look like. And one of the things that people in the West tend to do is they think you have to stop your thoughts. Well, you can't do that. Thoughts don't stop. They're coming all the time. It's what your brain does. So the trick with meditation is you have the thought, you notice the thought, and then you let it go. You don't chase it. You don't try and understand it, reason with it, figure it out. You don't go and make that shopping list. You're just aware, oh yeah, shopping list, and then you let it go. That's a practice of meditation, really focusing on being here now, because now is all we have, right? Anything that's past has gone. It's not here anymore. Anything that's future didn't happen yet. It's not here. Now is the only thing. And meditation is an opportunity for you to be in the now. So even if you do it for like 5 minutes in the morning, it's a really good place to start your day from. So whatever spirituality means to you, practicing meditation and mindfulness, you know, being aware of things. Don't just rush through and, you know, be like a bulldozer. Pay attention to what's happening around you. When somebody's talking to you, pay attention to them. Don't just listen for the words so that you can respond, but really listen to them. What are they telling you? Where are they coming from? How do you want to interact with that? Like, awareness really will teach you some things that you're going to miss if you just bulldoze through life. So these are some key things to do when you're moving from surviving to thriving, is just slow down so that you can speed up, right? Rushing through your conversations, rushing to get from here to there, sitting in your car, stuffing down some fast food on your way to somewhere, that is not thriving. That is much more like surviving. This is not a way for your digestive system to work. You know, this shoveling down fast food, you're building and repairing yourself from that. Are you really using the right materials? And are you eating them in the right way? Or is it just as fast as you can possibly shove it in so that your digestive system doesn't have time to kick in? Wow. You know, that could be problematic, don't you think? Could that cause some stomach problems, maybe some digestive problems? Yeah, the answer is yeah, it does. I have more for you after the break. Stay tuned. I can't believe these breaks are coming up so fast, but here we are, and they tend to do that. So I will see you here on Navigating Complicated Relationships in just a moment. My name's Michaela.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Michaela Gaffin-Stone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. Listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Mickey@GaffinStone.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. You can also find me on Facebook. I think there's only one Michaela Gaffin-Stone, and it's pretty clearly me. So you'll very easily find me and send me a message or, you know, post whatever you'd like to do. That's very cool. I'm happy to be in contact with you. That would be lovely. So before the break, we were talking about spirituality and whatever that means for you. The other sort of practical tools I'd like to give you here is when you have a goal that you want to achieve, if you set it so far in advance that you can barely see it on the horizon, then you're probably not going to get there because there's too much space between here and there. So how about you break that big goal down into smaller things? You've probably heard this before. Sure. Have you practiced it, though? Have you tried it? Or have you just dismissed it because you've heard it before? I don't know, but I suggest you try, because when you have manageable steps in front of you, you're more likely to succeed. Now, from behavior analysis, I can tell you that motivation is not the thing that moves you forward. Success is. And we call it behavioral momentum. And what that means is you do a thing, it works. You do another thing, it works. You do another thing, it works. Now motivation kicks in. It's not the thing you start with. It's what success gives you. Success is actually your motivation. So pick small goals, small steps that you know you can succeed at, because your brain isn't looking for the challenge. It's looking for the wins. So pick things that you know you can succeed at and are going to get you closer and closer towards your goal. And you will find that the more of those you do, the more of those you'll do, right? That's your process towards getting to the success, right? And then if you find that you really do have big issues and the stuff I'm saying to you just isn't touching it, then you might need support from a therapist, or maybe a coach will do it for you. It depends on what the issue is, right? But you can explore that to see who is most likely to help you move forward. Right. Basically, you want to explore the underlying issues and you want to develop coping strategies. That will depend on what the problem is as to who you talk to. And if you're unsure, book a call with me and we can work it out, because I'm not going to work with you if you need a therapist. I'm going to send you to a therapist. OK, it doesn't benefit me to work with you if I can't help you. I like to work with people that I know I can help. That's kind of a no-brainer for me. And it's my action towards thriving, right? So the next thing I want to mention while we still have a little bit of time is cultivating resilience, drawing inspiration from people you admire. Now, I'm a big fan of Richard Branson, for example, and the reason is not a financial one. It's that people tell him all the time he can't do something that he wants to do. And he gives this beautiful big smile and then says, uh-huh, and then he does it anyway. He doesn't have no in his vocabulary. If he wants to do a thing, he'll go do it. He'll figure it out. And if it doesn't work, and this is another part of why I think this guy is so amazing, if it doesn't work, he's just really interested in what happened and why not. And I admire that. I love that, because that's the curiosity that moves people forward and innovates, that brings new things to us. You're not going to get that if you don't have that attitude of, well, I'm going to try it and see what happens, right? We're full circle here. This is what I said in the beginning. I maintain that that is some of the biggest steps you can take, is going into an action with curiosity. So when you have a setback, when you do something and it doesn't work out the way you hoped it was going to, you're not going to be attached, of course, right? We've already had that conversation. But when you have a setback, that is where the gold is. That's where the lesson is. What could you do differently next time? What can you learn from that setback? It's not an obstacle. It's an opportunity, right? It's opportunity for growth. It's going to teach you something. If everything you ever did went smoothly, you would learn nothing and likely be really, really bored. So it doesn't work that way. Life isn't like that. Whenever it goes smoothly for you, that's like a coffee break, okay? Or maybe a herbal tea break, because we don't want the anxiety, right? But it's a break in life. When stuff is going south, when things don't work out right, that's where you are learning. That's what you can take to the next action that you're going to take. You need to keep moving forward. If you stay stuck, you're surviving, you're not thriving. And who's got time for that, honestly? You have one life. Do you really want to get to the end of it and say, well, I survived that up till now, you know? Or do you want to look back and say, whoa, I really rocked that, you know? I took that life by the horns and I went and lived it. Which would you like to do? I know where I'm at. So part of your self-care, part of your resilience, part of your taking action is for you to build and nurture this strong support network of friends, could be family, could be mentors, people who lift you up, people who provide encouragement. And something to remember here is, if someone's pulling you down, if they're telling you you can't do a thing, if they're being negative, then they are behind you, because people in front of you don't need to do that. They're too busy looking forward. So if someone's trying to pull you down, they're just trying to bring you to their level. I invite you to refuse to do that and look for people, inspiration. It could be in podcasts, hey, like this one, or it could be in books. It can be any number of places. There's no limit on that. But what you're looking for is someone, something, some place that inspires you to do more, to try again, to do better, to do bigger, to just keep going forward. Be more of who you are, not less. Try more things, not less. Get out of that procrastination and actually start moving forward. Because procrastination, you know, it's just postponing life. It postpones what you can do. Whereas action with curiosity, which is a thing today, that's the thing that's going to move you forward. And you can't be stuck in fear and self-doubt if you're curious, because you took yourself out of the equation. You took the ego out of the equation. And that's the most important thing you can do. You can move forward from there then, and you could try things. And who knows what you'll discover? I would love for you to contact me by email, or you can check out my website and get to me through that, or Facebook. Any of these are good places to find me. And let me know what you're thinking of. And if you're stuck with something and would like some help with that, I might well be able to. I do have a behavior analysis background, so behavior change is pretty much everything we do, you know, and I can help you with that. And if you'd like to up-level your health and your vitality and your energy by learning what foods work for you and eating better, treating yourself better, then contact me, because I have a coaching course that's launching that could be exactly what you need. So let's find out what works for you and we'll go from there. And if I don't think it'll work for you, I have other resources. So don't be afraid to talk to me and find out. Come with your curiosity. I am curious to see what your curiosity looks like. How about that? I will see you next week on Navigating Complicated Relationships.
Thank you for listening to the Navigating Complicated Relationship Show. Michaela returns Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, Remember, every relationship is a journey, and with the right tools, you can create stronger, more fulfilling connections.